Power is going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national
leaders. AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, serving southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware, as well as the entire world on the internet, simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link every Wednesday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon. If you have Alexa, Alexa 860 a.m. radio, and you will enjoy our broadcast. First of all, I want to ask you once again to contact family and friends, invite them to tune in, because we're going to have a very interesting broadcast today. A lot of nice things to talk about. As you know, our theme since 1999 is buy American-made products and support your American workers. That means people in your family, your neighbors, and everyone that you know that is a worker. Today, I am going to have two of our panel members joining us. That is Mark Andolf, founder of the Made in America store, and Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. And Larkin Conley is out on a special visit today. And of course, I also have greetings from Curtis Ellis. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. And I am Michael Blihash. Always very pleased to have you here joining us. Contact that family member and friend all the time. And as I go around, I hear from people all the time how they tune in. There must be a dozen ways to tune in now to our radio broadcast, riding down, you know, from work home, you put it on in the car. It's unbelievable. It's people talking about positive things. So as we gather for our broadcast on this Wednesday, February the 10th in the year 2021, everyone has heard our message during this 21-year period, and we're pleased to see that a growing number of our fellow radio broadcasters are repeating things like our weekly commentary, which is heard on our Saturday broadcast, and a lot of weekend programs play it for their people during their public service time. It's really been great. And with the help of our panel members and guests, the Buy American Made campaign remains focused on unifying people behind a positive message that's bringing attention to the fact that too many businesses, American businesses, were lost to nations around the world. We began to address that issue in recent years, but now I don't know what is going to happen. This morning, I heard an ad on the radio, which was kind of interesting to me. It was nicely done. They're having a virtual seminar, and the idea of it was, if you're going to sell your house or business, call us and we will be able to help you. Mr. Chow is very interested to join you on the virtual discussion. And I thought, wow, that's nice. The loss of businesses already in this country is historic. And now we're going to have people looking for houses as well as for businesses. Now, I do understand in some cases people are looking to retire and they don't know what to do. So they go on these seminars and they share a lot of good information. But I'm encouraging our business executives in this country to start doing those kinds of things to keep those things here in the USA. Every business represents at least one job. It could be a sole proprietorship. It represents a job, a livelihood. It's a parent or someone that is able to earn money. And I know that COVID's hurt very deeply. But everywhere, we're hearing more and more about how important it is for us to support American-made and support local. Even during the Super Bowl, They had a message, shop local, support American workers. It was promoted, and I'm very grateful that they also promoted that, because as more people go out and seek to support American-made labels, which is sometimes very hard to accomplish, we're at least hearing more conversations, more feedback. People are saying, I'm very discouraged. I had no idea that it was this bad. And it was really deception in many ways, because the brand, the beautiful brand labels, the packaging, everything is the same, except the place that it's made. So as we are looking to see no less than 50% of those items restored back in the USA, and I want to just mention, it's not going to happen as a result of the politicians doing this. This has to be done by our business association. It has to be done by America's consumers, with the idea that every American worker receives a paycheck for producing the items and providing the services to the American people. That seems to have just been forgotten. When you go out looking for clothing, electronics, household goods, and thousands of others, it's really very discouraging to see that those products are not made in America. It's also demoralizing, because a lot of the young people, they have no future, whether they wanted to make the product, sell the product, distribute the product, deliver the product. It's not going to be there, the job. All it's happening now is the container comes on the ship to the wharf. It comes to the store. The store opens it, puts it on display, and those are the only workers that are involved. All the people making, packaging, pricing, the whole deal, it's all gone. And that's why we are working. After 35 years, we're at a point where American businesses began moving out of America 35 years ago. It's time to bring them back. And the only way it's going to happen is if we get off our duffs and do something positive to bring those businesses back. I just want to mention something that I did a little interview this morning, and it came at a great time. And somebody said, what did I think about the impeachment hearing? I says, well, I'm not really concerned about it, because whatever they're going to do, they're going to do. I said, but I will say this to you. As all the stuff that's going on in Washington continues, foreign businesses are working hard to welcome more American businesses to make their things in their foreign countries. And the guy said, wow, that's a good statement. I said, but it's a factual statement. And here to discuss with us that particular statement is none other than the very well-known Mark Andel. Mark, tell me, did you see the Super Bowl?
Yes, I did.
And did you see those little promos on there?
Oh, yes. Yep.
And this is what we got to start getting this kind of stuff. You know, a lot of the people they want to go to work. They want to go back to work, but they don't want to go back to a job when they see that their employer is going to be selling it off to somebody who's an investor from another country. Yes.
Absolutely.
Tell me everything, Mark.
Yeah, so welcome. I hope you're doing well, Mike. And I know Rich is on. Henry, thanks for making us sound good. Lark is out there somewhere, and Curtis. So, you know, all our listeners, welcome. We're fighting the fight, you know, as normal in the business world. It's the middle of February in Western New York up here in Buffalo, and I think it's going to get the high of 10 today, and we've got a lot of snow on the ground. And, for winter businesses, Mike, this has been good. We're into snow removal equipment and things, so it's actually been good for repairs and parts and snowmobilers to snowboarders. So if you're a winter-related business, it's actually good in West New York. We have a real winter. You know, this is the third week of cold and snow, which hasn't been seen in years. So, you know, because that's another effect you don't need. It helps if you're on a snowmobile, you stop at the restaurants. Everything is a trickle-down effect, helps everyone. But, Mike, we've got a lot of things going on. Made in America is still very strong. People woke up, you know, and I always thank them for doing their part. Our brick-and-mortar store has been busier than normal compared to another, last January. And the MadeInAmericaStore.com We're growing our wholesale division, which is a store in store, or you can just buy wholesale products from us. People want 100% made in America products. We'll break a case for you, Mike. And we're growing that. We're meeting a gentleman driving up from Philadelphia today. His name's Fred, and I'll get his name for you, Mike, and see if you know him. But he owns some breweries, and he wants to get a little made in America section in his stores. But so we got a lot going on in the made in America store. We don't know, though, because of the China crisis, we don't know if shows are going to exist this year. The Erie County Fair here is very big. They asked for our application. We didn't send them money because last year was canceled. And they don't know if they can have it yet. And if you're a carny and you're in the, you know, in that business, you really get on the road for 7 months, a lot of them. They start maybe in Florida, and they do their whole chain of events. And it's hard if you got to go to Buffalo and then back to Florida. So we don't know, and they don't know if they can have these mass gatherings. I know my buddy owns a restaurant, been hit very hard, his food truck, but he was telling me with the weddings, there's so many tests you got to do with your own people to cater to the wedding itself. He's not. It would cost him $2,000 or more just to go to a wedding and be able to cater it with the tests and the things they're mandating. So we don't know about this year, Mike, with shows, though. I bring up shows because so many people. I just got off the phone with a guy. He sells the Mylar balloons or the foil balloons you see in the stores. He lost 40% of his business. They make that balloon in Minnesota, which I thought was interesting, but you can't get them. There's a supply shortage for the because of the Mylar. But plus, he said the movie theaters and all the different shows and events being closed, people don't need the balloons as much. So it's a little thing, but not to him because he has a major business where he sells balloons around the world. You know, so everything's affected, and you know, a lot of people just don't realize. I kind of learn something every day and every week who's affected. A lot of things going on, too, Mike, I want to bring up is the Keystone Pipeline. You talk about jobs, and they're promoting jobs, but I've seen a little talk to some guys. Of course, I'm in the welding business, but a lot of guys are field welders, or they go out. You might be in Arkansas, you might be in Buffalo, but you go to where the pipeline is, and you're a welder on-site or a laborer, and you can make some good money on the road, but so many people were affected by this quick decision, to me, by the politicians and the new administration, because oil's still coming to the country if it's not by trains, if it's Warren Buffett's trains, which is a good story, or if it's the you know the vehicles, if it's by a truck, which is not as efficient. So the pipeline makes sense. But when you look at the disconnect and the families and the blue-collar workers that directly affected, that should be shown more on TV, I think, Mike, and because that's who we're all about, is supporting that middle-class blue-collar who just got the light switch was just shut off on them. Thousands of people, you know, from truckers to welders to laborers. So that's a big story I'd like to touch on. And also I'd like to touch on the supply shortage going on, Mike. Steel is not only 40% higher than it was a month ago. You can't get a lot of the steel tubing and things I use to manufacture. You can't. Wood is 8 times higher. I just got off the phone with a lumber yard. We're searching for lumber. So I won jobs from a utility company to make bodies, 11 bodies that have they're steel, but then they have wood decks. But now I quoted it back in October. My quote is tripled for the wood, so I'm asking my customer, can I raise the wood prices because they're 3 times more than they were, and they don't want to raise them. So there's so many parts to this story as the fallout from the China pandemic continues with supply problems, shortages problems, and this is just going to build up and build up. And you like to be positive, but you got to face the brutal facts of the current reality. There's an issue on getting products, and it's going to affect all of us. Not only are gas prices going up, but getting products, you're going to pay more. So that's a lot going on, Mike, with the supply chain, the Keystone Pipeline, blue-collar workers getting cut off. You know, they're laid off. And, you know, positive has made America strong, but we've got to kind of talk about all this.
Well, you know, Mark, talking about the Keystone Pipeline, I mentioned last week, I really think that this should be totally reconsidered. And, yeah, you know, it might be very good because sometimes when you go to a major media outlet, they say, oh, well, you know, we're selling our time. I think it would be very good for the Keystone Pipeline executives to buy several hours of time to put it on the various stations on CNN and expose the entire issue, because most people do not know what it's all about. And as you mentioned even last week, for every job lost putting down the line and maintaining the line to bring the oil from Canada and all, there are a lot of other jobs that are affected. whether it's trucking or gas or whatever. We can't just all of a sudden shut off something as important as gas in this country without justifying exactly what the bottom line is. It can't be done.
Well, I know a few welders, so you take the welder, okay, they lost a job, the one guy's got three kids. You know, what's he going to do? He was solid on that job, right? But the hotel he stayed at, the restaurant he ate at, everybody's affected, and there was thousands of people on the lines. You know?
Now, Mark, let me ask you this. You're a person who's probably involved in with maybe a business association. Who do you think is the right person to start talking about these problems, that's non-political?
Yeah, you know, there's the American Welding Society. I've been a member of for over 25 years. You know, they support the welders, the welder industry, and, you know, that's a big hit. So they'll be talking about it. But, again, you want it at a national level, but you want to go to these people's towns and talk to the people that are directly affected, Mike, and I think them are the stories that need to be told.
And I think, Mark, that is a wonderful idea. If you have any contacts at the Welders Association, I would ask them to start preparing the pros and cons of this situation. Because as you said, the trains are going to cause pollution. The boats coming over, it's not going to be just like all of a sudden.
Yeah, they're still bringing oil down.
The underground pipelines have worked very good, and they were approved during the Bush and Obama administrations, as well as by the Trump administration. So it's not that it just all of a sudden happened 2 years ago and we're closing it down. No, in the southern end of the country, that's been going on for some time. It's just that they've been bringing more oil from Canada, more crude oil from Canada, to the refineries. And I don't see a reason why it should have happened. I really think that the president, the Congress, but the business associations, everyone associated with that particular pipeline, should be at a big table, at a conference table, and looking at the pros and cons. Sometimes a person will do something just to satisfy another person. Oh, I promised I'm going to do this, or I promise. No, that's not how we can live. We already promised our life away. As I said, there are so many business people from foreign countries in this country right now looking to take over businesses from the people who want to retire and don't know exactly who to go to when it's time to retire. And, that's a fact. If you do, anybody out there listening, you want to retire and you either put your building up for sale or you go, who do you go to? Well, these people are very good at doing this kind of stuff, and that's why they've slowly been able to take over big amounts of our business, because the political people who we send to Washington to guard our well-being are focused on a million items like this additional impeachment and all. To me, let them have it, let them do it. But then the people have to start speaking up. Okay, now we're past this. We have to move forward, and we want to know what we're going to do to get more businesses back in America. How are we going to help 1,000 businesses a month grow their product lines? How are we going to bring down the price of steel? By the way, Mark, why did the price of steel go up so much?
Yeah, I'm trying. You got a lot of, you ask that question, I try to look, because I'm talking steel 30, 40%. Mike, that doesn't happen in 5 years, 10 years, So these are prices we're seeing directly. And I've got a full-time buyer that just searches the steel prices. So you've got things just crawling up because they're saying, originally, okay, COVID took out some of the employees. They were at a loss of employees. The production went down. So they weren't producing as much, last year. So that's one. So there's a shortage. Then you've got the price increase is because they can, meaning they've had steel in warehouses, it's crawling up, so everybody starts to bump up a little bit. You've got mills, you only got a few mills in the United States, maybe there's 10 or 12, not like it used to be, hundreds, years ago, I'm talking 40 years ago. So there's a shortage producing here. The borders were closed off, so there's not, the foreign steel isn't coming, which is good, but slows down the steel. And then you get, then you get the hoarding. I hear, hey, I'm not going to get tubing for my trailers, what do I buy? I buy enough to supply me for 6 months, so everybody does that. And then it wipes out what was out there, then the prices go up. I know a buddy was selling a coiled steel truck. You know, most steel starts from a coil. Then you get your sheets. You get your tubing, even starts as a flat, and then they form it into a tubing, structural tubing. So the coil trucks, he was maybe making $17,000 to $20,000 a truck profit. Now he's making $80,000. So the prices are, you know, that supply-demand, and as people can't get it, the price keeps going up. So a lot of reasons, Mike, but it's going up fast. And this is only the middle of February.
You know, and the sad part of it is, Mark, if I went to Washington and I walked the halls of Congress and I asked this question, how many of you are ready to look at how we can keep the prices of steel and everything else in this country down? I wonder how many people would be able to even hold the discussion.
Yeah,
it's so much political nonsense and no reality.
I just talked to an owner of a lumber company because we need this lumber. And 2x4s went from $1.50 a 2x4, 8 foot long 2x4, to $8 a 2x4. So when you're building houses and things, these are going to affect. I heard bedroom sets are 6 months out if you want one today. But the wood increases are incredible. When you're talking eight times, even if they settle back at four times, even if I heard a 2x4, you can get it $4 to $6 each. But it's not the $1.50 it was a year ago. And you've got all these increases, you know, metal. I just heard today pool chlorine, if you have a pool you need chlorine, it's doubled in price. That's what a guy told me today. You know, everything, you know, why chlorine double, I don't know. But it can, so they are. I don't know. You know, and that's crazy. Now, you know, it's cold in Buffalo, but a guy just told me he went out and bought it, it was double.
Well, something, you know, this is what happened.
Going up.
Mark, when I'm question sometimes I do a little panel type stuff myself. When somebody asks me, I say, well, guys, let me tell you, our national leaders look the other way as tens of thousands of businesses, 77,000 businesses left this country over the last 30 years. They just pulled up their production lines, and many of the people listening can look out 2 miles from their house, and there may have been an industry there, and it's now empty, or maybe it's made into apartments or something. This is not what America was all about. When the people came to America, they came to make it grow, and for 200 years, it grew with great pride, and it wasn't until there was these well-spoken foreign merchandisers started to come to this great country and start to suck the businesses out slowly. And once it started, it moved like wildfire. Now, manufacturing, research and development, and all those types of jobs left the United States. The government's saying we need more tax dollars, especially the state governments. How are we going to get the tax cut dollars if the people aren't working? Because we need more tax dollars because more people are on programs to help them get by in life because they're out of a job. That's working age people, working age and able-bodied people. There's nobody saying a word. No one is saying a word. In fact, in the last 2 weeks, as all this has been going on in Washington, I haven't heard anybody say in the Congress that we are going, our next focus when this is over is going to be jobs in America and keeping prices down so America is a great and competitive country to have your products manufactured, distributed, and sold. Don't understand it.
One other thing, a lot of people can't get workers back, Mike, and that's not talked about enough. They've got, you know, they're compensating them different ways, $300-$400 plus unemployment. A lot of people are trying to gear back up, but they can't because they can't get workers. So that's a big part of our mission, with me and you and Rich and Larkin, what we believe in, can't get people back. And I tell people to watch the three P's at your pump, at the gas pump, watch that price go up, at your paycheck, watch your taxes go up, and at the property tax level, watch they're crawling up. And they have to crawl up, like you said, there's a shortage. There's always a fee or a tax or some three-letter word that takes our money, and it's going up.
You know, Mark, just reminded me, you're absolutely right. I asked somebody, I was talking to somebody at the gas station. I went in to pay, and I said, I know, and the person said, gas keeps going up. I didn't ask the question, but the person asked, every week I come to fill my tank, and the gas went up. And so the guy behind the counter says, well, it's only going up about a nickel a week. I thought to myself, I didn't say anything. I just thought, well, a nickel a week. Next thing you know, in a month, it's so much. In 2 months, and that's how it's going to get to $3 and $4 and whatever. Nothing is going on. My big question is, Mark, why didn't national elected leaders and business leaders work hard together to keep these businesses in the United States? We need a tax base. We need a people that are skilled. We need people that know, you know, how to be and are proud to be Americans. The question that still has not been addressed is, in the House or the Senate, was doing nothing to stop those long-term jobs for the well-being of our country justifiable? That's
right,
the
again,
question.
What are they,
nothing
what are
has been
doing
done.
For the American? Yeah.
Nothing has been done. I'm
we
going
better get
to,
Rich on, Mike. Because
I'm going to turn to Rich. Rich Logis, tell us everything. What's going on?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Michael. Good morning, Mark. To our listeners, Henry, I know Larkin. Well, I don't know if Larkin would want me to say this, but sorry, Larkin, if I say it and you're upset about it. But, you know, Larkin's he's getting the Trump vaccine for COVID. And I said to Larkin in a text message, I said, Larkin, ask all those Biden voting grandmas and grandpas at the vaccination site if they're aware that the guy they voted out of office helped to quickly produce that potentially life-saving vaccine. First 3 weeks of Biden's presidency, there are approximately 55,000 COVID-related deaths, Mark. Those are 55,000 more empty chairs around kitchen tables around the country. And my understanding from those Biden voting grandmas and grandpas is that they elected the near octogenarian gerontocrat to make the virus go poof. So I guess it shows that watching The View and CNN doesn't make you an infectious diseases expert after all. So, Larkin, we look forward to getting you back next week. And, Michael, I have to compliment you on something that I was actually going to bring up today, and you anticipated me on this. The Keystone Pipeline has existed for over a decade.
Absolutely.
It has been operational for over a decade. It has been in... And Keystone is a U.S. and Canadian joint energy self-sufficiency initiative. We've got parts of the Keystone Pipeline. There are many parts in Canada, and there are many parts here in the U.S. Michael, Texas, Illinois, Nebraska, Mark, Kansas,
all the way down
Missouri. Yeah, you know, all these states going down. And I went last week because I asked that question last week about naming an accident, an environmental accident that happened. And everyone always says the BP accident, yeah, which was 2010. And look, again, that BP paid as they should have. And I for one, am very much, Mark, in favor of strict environmental penalties, you know, whether accidental or intentional. So everyone always says that, and then I ask them to name another, and no one ever names another because they can't think of another because there really isn't another. So I went this week, and I went on this amazing invention by man called the Internet, and I tried to find, Mark, I sought and searched and was like the seeker trying to find other environmental crises that occurred from Keystone. And there were a couple articles I found, Michael, that had to do with sometimes the Keystone parts of it had to be shut off because of possible leak. And so, you know, it, in the real world here, right, you know, utopia sounds good, right, Mark? It always sounds good. Like hugging a terrorist sounds good, right? Like he's not going to commit terrorism or no humans illegal or make love not war. You know, let's all get high. It all sounds good until the real world punches you right in the mouth, square in the jaw. And the Keystone Pipeline, Michael, for all of the – if you look at, Mark, everything that surrounds Keystone, the public discourse, it is all manufactured controversy, all of it. It's manufactured.
I agree.
None of the controversy surrounding Keystone is based in any kind of objective, factual, evidentiary metric or measure. None of it. It's all concocted for the purposes of those who have a vested interest in telling us that we're all going to die. You see, something that people have to understand in terms of the way that we talk about these issues, and I have this discussion a lot with Republicans, something that Democrats are far, far more skilled at than Republicans usually is they understand better how to sell fear narratives. If you listen to the way that these Dems talk about virtually any policy, Mark, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. We're all going to die in the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to die. Keystone's going to get built. We're going to die. And some ducks are going to die, right? Owning this, having a, you know, we're all going to die. Trump's in office, COVID, we're all going to die. Buy a firearm, we're all going to die. Everyone's going to die in the end, Michael.
Windmills are up there. All the birds are going to die.
We're going to all die. If you and our stupid side doesn't understand, or does understand and just chooses to look the other way, Mark, that when these people talk about these issues, they come at, they always talk about it as warfare. Everything with Dems is warfare. Everything. What's going on with the impeachment trial? There's a congressman here in Florida who wants to increase the number of the House of Representatives seats. Everything is about warfare. And that's why I say again, Michael, you asked the question a few minutes ago. And I'm not trying to relive the past. I'm not one of these guys stuck in neutral. You move on from everything. But you asked, who's somebody was talking about reopening the country, getting our economy? And that guy you want, Michael, was voted out of office. He was voted out of office. So I want to also ask, Larkin, if you're listening, I'd like you to ask all those Biden-voting grandmas and grandpas what they think about the comment that President Biden made last week when he said it's going to take, Mark, about a decade to get our economy back to full strength. I mean, if it's going to take a decade, how do all those Biden voting grandmas and grandpas think their Medicare, Social Security going to be paid for, Mark?
Well, you're right. I mean, without tax dollars, you see, Rich, I agree 1,000%. One of the biggest.
Where are we going to get those entitlements?
Right.
Money?
You know, the thing that happened in America, which no one understood, but we've been talking about it on our programs and commentaries for 21 years, is you can't continue to put legislation in for new programs without taxes to pay for the programs. If people don't have jobs, they don't pay taxes, and they're slowly, you know, putting the country in debt. Then when you go into a war, and you go to a foreign country and you put out $16, $17 trillion of America's money and there's no return on it, that makes it all the worse. If we get the jobs and we get the taxes back, then everyone can ask for more help with their Medicaid or Medicare or whatever. This is something that has to be addressed. We, you know, it's only little efforts like ours all over the country that are talking about supporting American workers on a grassroots level. Why not big business? Why not America's elected officials? The Keystone Pipeline is a perfect idea. Why would an executive order be necessary to stop the Keystone Pipeline? If they had a year discussion, if they had a year discussion, and after a year, a president and the Senate and the House voted, yes, this is so serious that we can take action. But that didn't happen. It was just bring the next executive order in. I really feel it is now up to the Keystone Pipeline leadership, and President Obama's people also agreed with the pipeline because it was going to reduce pollution. Right now, you have to bring, as Mark said, by train or by boat, or what was better, underground the pipeline bringing it to the different states, or bringing all the trains in and the boats and everything else? Which is the better solution?
Michael, you're on a roll today, because that's another sagacious point that you just mentioned that I was going to bring up. The more a country is self-sufficient in its energy, and of course understanding that it's private sector driven here, and for the most part in Canada also, from what I have read about how it's the way the government and the private sector coordinates in Canada, but the more energy self-reliant a nation is, the more control they have over environmental policy.
Absolutely.
And keeping the air and the water and the ground clean. See, again, that's why I say, when Mark goes and says, or I say, whenever Mark would go out and say, well, you know, I'm a little concerned about the Keystone, well, I'm very concerned, we're going to lose jobs, we're going to become less energy independent, everyone then turns around and says, Mark's trying to kill Grandma and Grandpa. Mark's trying to poison their geritol with oil. I mean, Mark, are you trying to kill Grandma and Grandpa that I'm unaware of?
Listen, no. They would be putting anything okay. They could as fillers in all these drugs if they could.
What I'm saying, Michael, is that the more energy reliant, did you guys happen to see that in India, there was this massive glacial collapse, right? Very, you know, and sadly, people have died, people will be injured. So I go and read about it today, and all of it is just this mass hysteria. It's like, that must have been like what it was at the Jonestown People's Temple cult. Imagine living in a place where it's 24/7 mass hysteria, and it's climate change in the earth, and it's just, and look, I'm not trying to dismiss the fact people died, but yes, that's what happened, you know. The environment is most harmed in places that aren't first world. Do I really need to watch The View to know that? So the more dependent we are, the less control we have over our own environmental standards. And the dirty little secret, no pun intended, is that for all of our production and all of our industry, and the fact that we are the third most populous nation in the world, our environmental standards are pretty damn high, actually.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
We do a damn good job on protecting our environment. I mean, a damn good job of doing it. But now, little by little, Michael, we're starting to abdicate. We're starting to concede some of that self-reliance on energy, and that energy is what fuels, again, no pun intended, it fuels to some extent every industry in America. How does everyone think their social media accounts get operated out of servers, whether in the U.S. or other places, through nuclear power grids and electricity, all of which are to some way, shape, or form are powered by fossil fuels? Everything in the world is powered by it.
That's right.
Everything.
And the less fuel you have, see, what was good in recent years is that more and more of our self-sufficiency was coming about. Now,
right,
we are closing off the door to self-sufficiency and welcoming the world to come and control us again. And that's why I'm encouraging the people to contact their elected officials. And if you need to where to contact, you can go to your internet. You can go on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and we have a place there where you just put in your zip code and it takes you right to your elected people, whether it's your House of Representatives, your senator, or the president's email. I would get the word out. I really think this is one issue, that one executive order that must be reconsidered. As I said earlier, if you had a year to talk about this and everything came up negative, then an executive order to bring about, you know, peace and strength and pollution, that would be different. But first few hours in office, to sign this executive order. I don't know if that was a good thing to do, but I think it's a good thing for the people involved to buy that airtime. Everybody wants you to buy time. If you want to get news out, as you somebody got hit on the head or something, everybody wants to cover that. But if it's something positive, talking about America, talking about, you know, ways to keep our jobs, seems that the news media is not too interested in it. They're looking for controversy. Bad news seems to sell in their minds, but I see that that's not going to be good. And by the way, we're talking about the Keystone Pipeline. Let's turn for a moment and just look what happened to the American drug industry over the last 35 years. All of the people listening today and that will hear our rebroadcasts today, tonight, tomorrow, over the weekend, whenever they tune in, it's for the record. Most pharmaceuticals sold in the United States of America are now made in such places as China and a dozen and other countries, which means much of America's collective health depends on drugs from China and other places. Only right now, if you look on the internet, because I researched it, 28% of the drugs sold in America are made in America, and many of them are traditional type stuff, like aspirins and stuff like that. The real drugs for health, pain, and diabetes and everything else are all foreign made. I ask a lot of questions of people, and they go in and they say, oh, I can't believe my my medicine, my high blood pressure medicine is made in a foreign country. And then they say to me, Michael, did you know it's all made in China? I said, well, this is the problem. Nobody speaks about it. China gave a better price to the drug distributor, and the drug distributor said, hey, why should I pay more when I can pay less, but I can charge the consumer the same amount that I was charging him when they were made in America? So over 35 years, prices have gone up, and look where we are today.
We have to make more here, Mike, and that's a big part of this. We have to continue to make more. Where Donald Trump left off, continue to make more. You know, charging the tariffs, everything was good. Keeping it within our borders, it's okay. America's fabric was self-sufficiency. 50-50 fair trade, you've said it right along. That's what we want. And the more we build, the more jobs there are, but we've got to allow our people to work. And these light switch moments when they shut off business or, you know, the pipeline or affect people's lives, it's just not good. The blue collar middle class took such a hit as it was. We've got to grow it back. But when I see so many jobs that are, you know, who knows when they'll come back, Mike? They've shut that off. You know, you got to wait 4 years, you know, and then maybe another four. It's just a shame because these people just can't pick up a job somewhere else tomorrow.
No, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not going to be good. And what I'm really concerned to hear is that so many of these foreign product people are looking to buy businesses in America to circulate even more and more of their products in our stores. In other words, when they own the store, whether it's the little local store on your avenue or the biggie, they're participating in the big store, they are controlling what's for sale. They're controlling how their people are employed, and you're just a customer. You know,
so, Mike, you're talking about foreign people buying American businesses, keeping them in America, but running them in
absolutely,
America.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what they do, if somebody wants to retire, I see it all the time. They want to retire, yet they have people working in their place that they have managers and people that are running the stores. They want to keep those people on the job. So sort of an outsider just comes in and they buy it and they set a manager in place. It's really very, very interesting. Even a bakery. I went into a bakery and the guy said to me, I looked at the people and they said, oh, when we have this and we are adding these new lines of products on the bakery, which are not the traditional stuff the bakery made. And I said, oh, and he says it's under new management now, and they want to expand the horizons of the people who come into the bakery. I said, oh, and who owns the bakery? And they said, it's not Americans. It's some investing corporation that bought the business, and they have a manager, a regional person that comes around. And that's how it goes. But we don't have enough American people to at least bid. Even if 50% of those businesses remained in America, owned by Americans, it would help our grassroots effort. But if more and more are just going to keep coming over here, taking everything away from our grasp, what are we going to have? It's pretty scary. Foreign businesses stepped in and they purchased businesses outright, where they invested 50, 60, or 70% in the business so that they can be a controlling factor. I'm sure, Mark, some of the businesses up near you, you don't really even know, but their right. major investors are not Americans.
Right. Yeah, I'll be looking into that more and more.
It's very important that people ask questions. You know, American people sat back for so long and said nothing. And people that I meet in my travels and go to, you know, different events, talk to them on the phone, they say, you know, I can't agree more. How did this happen to us? Who put the blindfold on us that we didn't watch anything?
You mention a lot of press, right? We talk about the press. And there's multiple ways to, broadly speaking, there's multiple ways to lie. I can lie to you. I can withhold information. I can omit it. I can take it out of context. All of them, Mark, to some degrees, are lies, whether little white lies or really, really big lies. So imagine if politicians for the last, let's call it 30 years, Mark. Imagine for the last 30 years, all these politicians and all their great man speeches and their stump speeches and their requests for money went and said, well, let me tell you what I did today. I worked very hard to make sure that we get our drugs from China. All you grandmas and grandpas out there taking those medications, right, that are keeping us alive and keeping us as healthy as possible, I worked really hard today to make sure we get them from China. If that had been said for 30 years, Michael, what would have probably been said today, right, in our last many, many years? At least a few more people in the general public would ask, do we really want to just keep bringing them in from China, though? So imagine, Mark, they went out and actually announced this and touted it, right? But they didn't. Why? Because they know full well that if they touted it and pounded their chest to some great achievement, everyone in the town hall meetings would ask, why don't we make more of our own?
Exactly.
Why don't we make more of our own drugs and more of our own product? Why don't we make more of our own, right? And again, I forget about having 100% standard. There will never be 100%, but and some want, you know, you said 50-50 or 60. To me, I just want as many as – I want as much as possible, right? I want as many products as possible. Mark, you've got how many products now in your store?
Almost 10,000.
10,000 products. 10,000 products, right? So I'm wearing one of them right now, those polo shirts.
I stand for the flag and kneel for the cross.
That's right. And I look at – I'm waiting for – you know, I – not – you know, a little personal here. I texted Mark last week. I said, Mark, you guys got boxer briefs? I'm in the market for some boxer briefs. You know, okay, we're waiting to get them. Okay, no problem. So try to find the imagine for 30, 40 years. Right, waiting and waiting and waiting. Imagine for 30, 40 years. But they didn't say that. Politician, Republican or Democrat, they both love, right? They both, again, bipartisan, the big scam, bipartisan. It just means both sides are wrong, and both sides have loved, and maybe in varying different degrees, but they both loved there's this obsession with everything foreign. It's an obsession. It's a fetish. And then it caught up to us. The guy you want, Michael, was voted out of office. And that's not to say that everything was achieved we wanted or that everything was done exactly as we wanted, but you have to at least first start trying, right, Mark? I mean, you have to put into motion attempts to wane off of this fetish, this obsession of reliance on all other parts of the world. So we did that, Michael. We did that for 4 years. We made gains, and now we're just going to reverse them, just like that. We're going to mostly reverse them. And let's not forget the fact that all – so I mentioned the Biden-voting grandmas and grandpas. How about all those college grad or grad school Biden-voting young people? How about all them, Mark? They think they've had it tough thus far with foreign competition. They ain't seen nothing yet.
You know, Rich, I want to just add this to this. No matter who the president is, it's really up to the business leaders in the country to speak up in behalf of the businesses. They should be the best. The investors, the people who are investing in the stock market and having their people work at stores and manufacturing places, they have an investment to make that business a success. So their country's a success. So they have a job, that they have money to pay for their own needs. This is something that's been lacking for years. I've been talking about this and people saying, yeah, but you're trying to encourage people to really speak up and they don't want to speak up. And when they do speak up, somebody's there to chop their head off. Well, it's time that we start speaking up. Whoever is in the White House, God bless them. As Larkin said a few weeks ago, in this world, who would want to be president? But in this world and in this country, business associations could be much stronger. They should be more vocal, and workers should, you know, back those businesses. All of our listeners are mainly consumers of American-made products. They're helping keep this country moving.
And Mike, don't you agree? You know, anything, when you see something go up, if it's gasoline, if it's a product at the store, the consumer has to voice their opinion. Like we always talked about, you raise your voice at the store, you know, nicely, you say, hey, can we have more Made in America products? But the consumer, the American person, has to take over now and do their job. When they see things going up, they have to get, we have to get this on local TV and national TV and then address the problem. Why? Why is fuel going up now?
And you know, Mark, this is where I'm going to offer this idea. This is time now for some very well idea people to get together and make a few broadcasts. Come about. So many people are great with cameras and computers. Let's get the message out. You're going to have to buy the time, I hate to say it, to get the message out, because the people who they're putting up in the media are not people who are caring about American workers. It's the small efforts like ours that are doing the job. When I
look at the WeatherTech commercials on the Super Bowl. I mean, WeatherTech's a hell of a company. I sell their products, and they put the money in the suit. They've hired the people. They hired the technology. They've automated. They've got a heck of a product, and they brag and push Made in America.
Yes, they do. And more people should do that. They fear that that word discrimination, we're discriminating against this country or that country. No, we're not discriminating against anybody. We want people in our country to have a job too. And by the way, I talk to distributors and they tell me what the story is. They can see what the price is coming from overseas. If a product is made for a dollar and it's coming from a foreign country, they still have to charge you $10 at the cash register. So that means at least 40% of that money is in the hands of the distributors.
Yeah, and Mike, I bring up WeatherTech because they're a heck of a company. They're proof that most everything can be made here because they're doing it. They just have the want and the care for a country that they do it. They're using state-of-the-art equipment. They sell your WeatherTech mats are in most Fords and Chevys. They're doing it. They've got the volume. They've got the automation. They've invested in their people. It's proof that you can do it here. You gotta want to do it here.
You know, this vaccine is a perfect. You're right. This vaccine is a perfect example. Everything should be made in this country that's going into the arms of Americans.
Absolutely.
100%. There's no reason. And research and development used to be, even here in our Philadelphia and surrounding counties, there used to be so much research and development for new drugs and things like that. Majority of that stuff in the last 20 years has all moved overseas. So that means our people in research and development had to go into other fields, maybe teaching or something like that. But it doesn't make any sense. We should be research and development, manufacturing, distribution, and be in competition. The word is competition. With other countries around the world. There's no competition. It's just coming from overseas to our shelves. We look at the labels. We see it's foreign made. We look at the next product in the same category. We see that it's not American made. It's still foreign made. So what do? If we need it, we have to buy the foreign made. That's got to come to an end. That's got to really come to an end. And people don't like programs like this because it may influence people and maybe the next person will be influenced. We need more programs like this. We need more people standing up. And a lot of people fear, I hate to say it, they fear to speak about the reality of our businesses being attracted overseas. They fear it. Because they say, oh, well, maybe some other company will come over or something. I hate to tell you, no other company's coming these days because the foreign providers are making it so easy for you to be in that country, manufacture. All the printing equipment, it's perfect. No problems whatsoever. Look at the people with the producing, the packaging, the printing. All of that could be done in this country as well. And yet, the stuff arrives at the port. It's all packaged in the packaging. Just put it on the shelf and you buy it. Thank you and God bless.
That's a shame. You know, I had a David Bellavia on my show yesterday. David's he's alive, a Medal of Honor recipient from Donald Trump, but he fought Fallujah 2004. But David's one of the only, Medal of Honor winners that's alive from the Iraq War. And boy, does he get it, you know, when you hear the men he lost in battle and, you know, what he went through. But we talked about in the 70s and 80s, this was common practice, all the Made in America products in the stores. And then what happened? Like a light switch again, Mike. They sold us out overseas, but a lot of American companies went overseas. But we've got to change it.
Well, I am hoping that once this fiasco is done in Washington, our American people will go to our internet site, go to the link there that tells you how to contact your national elected officials, make those contacts, because that's the only way it's going to happen. Right now, they're riding free, wide, and handsome with no problems whatsoever. Well, as you can see, it's that time. It's Valentine's weekend coming up. Make sure you do something special for your Valentine's. And, of course, my Valentine's best wishes to all of my family and to all of you. Thanks for supporting our broadcast. Thanks for spreading the word. Kindly invite others to tune in simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And remember to tune in this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11 right here on 860. Have a great one. God bless. Happy Valentine's Day.
All right. Have a great week, Ed.
Thanks, everyone.